Welcome, everyone, to Season 3 of Be the Adult Podcast. I'm Nancy Kotz, and all of us at Be the Adult hope that this new season, which coincides with the new year, will bring good health, connection, and peace to you and to all. We at Be the Adult are continuing to discover new ways to grow our podcast, to share information that will be the most helpful to everyone who's interested in creating a world of more adults. We're experimenting with a new format this season. Marisol Sanchez will now be working with us behind the scenes instead of on air as she focuses her talented energy on growing other podcasts and projects. I know we'll all miss hearing her courageous vulnerability, heart, and humor. Maureen Mountcastle, the fantastic actor, producer, acting coach, and human, is our new executive producer. And we welcome back our talented audio engineer, Jack Kotz, who allows our voices to be heard. Our intention with Season 3's content is to continue our lifelong journey of learning how to be that parent that we need to be to give kids what they need from us to be able to thrive and to create wonderful relationships. While our nonprofit is Be the Adult for Your Child, our goal is to share information that helps us behave as adults in all of our relationships. So we'll be asking each guest this season questions that focus on the theme of what does being an adult mean to them? How do we put on that adult hat? And then super hard part, how to keep it on? Because all of us bring different meaning to the words be the adult. We're super excited about this season's guests, beginning right now with the truly insightful and warm Dr. Ann Kelly.
Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
So welcome, everyone. I am so excited to introduce Dr. Ann Kelly. We always at Be the Adult talk about how to parenting is all about looking at ourselves and how we show up to that contact boundary with our children. And we have a treat today. Dr. Kelly is going to help us take a closer look at ourselves. So she is a licensed psychologist and co-host of the top-rated podcast, Therapist Uncensored. On Therapist Uncensored, she and her co-host, Sue Marriott, bring their love and expertise of attachment, interpersonal neurobiology, and human psychology to listeners across the globe. Wow, I just got chills across the globe. I love that. Therapist Uncensored is heard in over 172 countries, is consistently in the top 10 of social sciences and therapy podcasts, and now has over 3 million downloads. Wow. Throughout her career, Anne has provided workshops, trainings, and supervision related to the impact and treatment of early trauma on adolescents and on adult relationships. So I found Dr. Kelly and Sue Marriott when I was explaining to her, I love podcasts. And so I only allow myself to listen to them when I'm exercising. It's a great way to get myself out there. And I scrolled on their podcast and I don't think I finished exercising because I was so riveted by what I was hearing. I often listen to their podcast over and over again to really be able to absorb everything. So please check out their podcast. I call myself a Therapist Uncensored groupie. I hope that's okay.
I love it.
A real brief discussion of Therapist Uncensored. Building on decades of experience, the Therapist Uncensored co-host, Dr. Ann Kelly and Sue Marriott, tackle neurobiology, modern attachment, and more in an honest and easy digestible way. Yeah, I feel like I've had many conversations with Dr. Kelly because when you listen to the podcast, you'll see they feel like friends. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for having me on. I'm really, really glad to meet you.
Thank you. It's so nice to meet you too. So you heard a little bit about Be the Adult. We're always talking about looking inward to see what we're bringing to that moment when we are about to interact with our children or we're thinking about them. And at Be the Adult, we talk a lot about how do we make contact to help our children become their best selves, grow themselves up. And so What I'd love to ask you is, from your perspective, there's so many different ways to define being the adult, right? And if we ask 100 people, we'll probably get 100 different definitions. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what that means to you to be an adult for our children.
Such a great question. I think, and part of what your description of your podcast is, like, we want our children to be their best selves, right? That's such a great goal as a parent. And I think being the adult means knowing thyself. Mm-hmm. And it does, but it doesn't actually mean acting like an adult all the time, right? Like that puts such pressure on us, right? Like, yes. So I think it's about learning what brings out the child in you, what brings out the part of you that wants to become aggravated or frustrated or fearful or scared. That part that every one of us has inside of us that lives right there. And I feel like being the adult means learning that part about you. Mm-hmm. What are your fears? What are your triggers? What are the things inside you that make being in the relationship in every moment difficult? Mm-hmm. And I think it's so worth doing the work from the beginning to know yourself.
Yes.
You know, don't you think?
Yes. And so hard. And
yes.
So it sounds to me, tell me if this is right, that being the adult involves a lot of courage.
Yes.
So
that's a great word.
To look inward and get to know, be able to identify and then get to know those parts of self that you were talking about. Is that right?
Yeah. Know what are those things? When you think about being a parent, like, what's a good question is, you know, when you say you want your child to be their best selves, to take a moment and go, what is their best self? Like, when you answer that question, what do you want for your child? Do you want them to be courageous? Do you want them to be independent? Do you want them to be caring? But stop and ask yourself, why do you want that? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I think as parents, we become so focused on the child, what right. we want for them, what outcomes we want for them. And unknowingly, those often are generated by the things that happen to us in our lives and in our young self. Sometimes it's because we love what happens and we wanted to replicate it. Many times we want to undo what was done to us.
Right.
But I think sometimes we get so focused on that for our children and what we want for them mm-hmm. that we end up living, often we can slip into living as parents, as adults for them in fear, mm. right? Like maybe the father that wants their child to be independent and really fears dependency, right? And so their emphasis on being a parent is, let me help you grow your independence, son. But ask yourself, like, what is that about? Because sometimes when we are so strident about what we want our kids to have mm-hmm. and be and do, sometimes that's really driven by an underlying fear inside ourselves about what happens if our children don't get that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing is a really important reason to get to know ourselves is to be able to identify, like, what is unfinished for us mm-hmm. And what is it that we really want for our children, for them,
right.
independent of what we still want for us that we haven't quite finished or come to terms with or closed. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And I think the thing is, if we're not aware of our own selves, and on Therapists Uncensored, we call this our internal working model, our own mm-hmm. attachment system. And if we're not aware of our own system, we end up acting it out. And that's probably the time that we become sometimes in the least in our adult selves. And if we are acting out of fear, maybe another example may be like a mom needs to really help their child have some limits and to really push themselves into, and yet maybe their underlying fear is to be rejected or be pushed away, then setting those limits, setting those kind of boundaries actually can stir up some anxiety in you. And unknowingly, sometimes if we're unaware of that, we end up becoming so focused on how our children act, how mm-hmm. they behave, and how they feel. And then we use those things in our children. You know, how is our children acting? How are they feeling? There's such markers for us that we lose ourselves. So if we are scared that our child's upset, then when our child becomes upset, our whole focus is helping that child not be upset.
Right.
That we kind of lose ourselves in a way. And the child becomes honestly a little too much in charge. They become the adult. If we need our children's reactions or behaviors to be a certain way for us to feel okay.
Right.
We kind of end up letting their nervous system and how they respond rule our nervous system. And I think that's when we lose our adult self.
Ah, so interesting. So can you explain, for those of us who don't know what internal working model is, what that is that you mentioned?
Sure, absolutely. An internal working model is how our nervous system and our beliefs about ourselves develop through our childhood experiences and all the way into adulthood. As when we're born into the world, we need our nervous system. We need the wise other of our parents, mm-hmm. our caregivers, and we need proximity to them. We need them to take care of us. So we learn through that. We learn through our interactions with our parents and our caregivers what brings the parent close to us and what pushes them away, because we need them close to us to take care of us. So we have to learn the nervous system of our parent. And if your parent, let's say, is overstimulated by emotions and that scares them, and I express a lot of intense emotions and that pushes you away, I may therefore learn to kind of squelch or downregulate my emotions because then that keeps you closer.
Mm.
Another example may be if your parent is very in tune to the physical system of the baby and any small disruptions in the child's experience in the world, like the stomach pains, et cetera, gets a big response, then the infant might learn, oh, wait, I've got to pay a lot of attention to my body because that's what's really important. So what we do is we learn the rules, if you will, about the world, about how we regulate ourselves, whether we can trust ourselves in our own emotions, whether other people we can trust, whether people will take care of us, or do we need to learn really to take care of ourselves in order to keep the caregiver close to us. So over a period of time, it develops into what we call an internal working model of the world and our relationships. And so.
Great. That's so fascinating and really speaks to kind of my next question about why it's important to be the adult for your child, because it sounds to me the word that keeps popping into my head is safety, right? So we learn whether our relationships are safe or not. Mm-hmm. I know safe is a loaded word, but is that right?
No, that's a perfect word. Safety and security. We learn basically why it's important to be the adult is so that your children can learn about the world, that the world and relationships are safe. Mm. And so if you're an adult and you can manage your own emotions and you can manage yourself, then I can learn to tune into my body as the infant or the child. But if I have to tune into your fears in order to keep you safe, then I have, as an infant, we have less ability to kind of self-soothe and focus on our own emotions. So it's so important to be the adult because we want the child to have the chance to grow into their full self and their own sense of security.
Mm. Mm, my body got chilled again. The importance of that statement, right? So if my parent, and I know we all try our best and are doing our best with what we bring to the moment. I always want to try to repeat that in every podcast. Then I have a better chance of my child being able to focus on him or herself. Mm-hmm. And what he or she needs in the world to thrive than on what parent might need, right?
That's a great way to put it. Yes. Okay. Yes. So that's exactly why we want to be able to pay attention to what we need and not just be so child focused. It's of course, we want attunement to our children. We want to teach us when we're being parents, we want to be attuned, we want to be sensitive, we want to be caring and loving, because it teaches the children's body that they're worthy and they're safe. But at the same time, we also need to be able to set limits and be the hierarchy and be the one in charge. And that is some of the most important things that we can do, because that tells us that the world is safe. And if a parent can really tune into their own fears, again, I want to come back to the fact that being an adult does not mean you're always acting like an adult. We all get dysregulated. We all lose it as parents, right? And so we don't, but when we realize we do it and we are able to come into ourselves and nurture ourselves and come back, that's what's really important. Sometimes we all get a little stuck on, this is upsetting me so much, therefore I need you, child, to behave better or to do better or to not act out so that I don't get emotionally upset. And that's when I would say we get a little bit backwards, because our children are going to dysregulate. They are going to act out. And we need to know, that overwhelmed me, and have self-compassion, right? Like when our children are acting out and they're throwing something across the room, of course our body is going to get stimulated and upset. But the goal would be, instead of, I've got to stop you from doing that so that then I can feel safe and comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I recommend is the opposite is true, is that we have to know ourselves as an adult to go, of course that's upsetting. Anybody's going to get upset when their kid's acting out this way. But let me kind of self-soothe and come back into myself, so then I can deal with my child from my more adult self and my more regulated self and be in charge of that, so that I can go and help my child regulate himself, him or herself, rather than I need to control your behavior so that I don't get upset. And so it is that focus on self, not the focus on being the perfect self.
Right.
focus, the focus on, of course, I'm going to get disruptive, but I can also self-soothe.
Yes. There's many times when I'm like, I hope nobody is watching, because...
Oh my God, isn't that the truth? Yes. If we had all of our blooper roles and we played them, and I sometimes tell my clients, if you have my blooper roles... But those are the most human parts. It's like the more authentic we can be with ourselves. Well, and the more that you can go, depending on the child's age, and do repair. Like, it's not to be perfect. It's to be able to go, you know what? I think I got too upset, and I think I got disrupted. I'm really sorry. I think I'm okay now. You know, we don't need our children to forgive us. Right. We need us to go to our child and say, because then that just humanizes it, you know, this authentic relationship.
What a beautiful way to state that. And then we're modeling that for our children, that we hope that when they screw up, right, which they will, that they will then remember, that's okay. I just need to have grace for myself and then try to repair if necessary, right?
That's a great way to put it.
So let's segue to, so we all agree that we have great intentions, right?
Right.
I don't always, myself included, with an exclamation point. We don't often have that congruency. So we often know what we need to do. We've learned, we've heard, we're more aware, but yet there's a disconnect, right? We kind of stop ourselves sometimes from actually being that adult who, you know. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how we stop ourselves from showing up as that adult that we really truly want to be?
Oh, I love the way you put it. I think we stop ourselves. You know what? I think we give so much credit to our frontal lobe and our intellect. Mm-hmm. We think if we know something, we should know better and we should do better. Mm. But the truth of the matter is that when something disrupts our system, when it upsets us, basically, if we get an emotional charge, our frontal lobe shuts down. And that is the human part of us, because we need to be able to respond. And when something upsets our entire nervous system, it dysregulates us and it puts us in a fight or flight response. And it basically shuts down the thinking, right? Because if something's running towards us and about to attack us, we aren't going to respond by analyzing it and coming to a good decision, right? Our entire nervous system needs to rush and go into action. And so when we get disrupted and dysregulated, it's our nervous system that takes over. And that's what's leading the charge. And so when we go, oh, I should know better, and we shame ourselves for acting out, I think what's so important is that we're missing the human part. Mm-hmm. And so the part that says, oh, I got so upset and I lost my cool because I lost the frontal part, my thinking part. And that's just human and normal. And that's all of us. One of our expressions that we love to say, it's not me, it's my amygdala. And if you've listened to the podcast, you've probably heard that. And that's what we mean by it, is right. When we're acting out, it's the back part of our brain that's meant to protect us. And if we sense something is dangerous, we're acting it out because our body says this is dangerous. And so I think it goes back to the beginning of what we were talking about being the adult. The more we know what creates that activation in our nervous system, the more that we can attend to it and really nurture that, then the less sometimes the message is, this is dangerous. Right. So if for some reason, like my example, if we're really afraid of being rejected or abandoned, and that's kind of in our own internal working model, and we start to set a limit on our child, and then the child starts to get upset and says, I hate you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see you. You're the worst mama I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Slams the door. Mm-hmm. Right. Boy, you can even just feel it, right? Our nervous system.
Yes.
Yes. The gut punch, right? Huh? You can feel the fear. And if our internal working model says, I am rejectable, all of a sudden that actually very normal interaction between a parent and child becomes threatening. You can feel the entire threat in the body. Mm, mm. And so that in and of itself could shut down our nervous system, and we could do one of two things. We could collapse, and then we end up maybe trying to make up to the child and like, oh, no, what, I didn't mean it, and that we don't hold that authority. Or we could activate and upregulate and go in there and open the door and start yelling, you don't speak to me this way. You may never speak to me this way, right? Because both of those are responses, are our nervous system responding in fear. Mm. So by getting to know that part, maybe knowing development that our child needs to separate, and sometimes they just do hate us for that moment when we set a limit. And if we can say in our more adult self and go, you know what? That child needs to do this. It's very upsetting, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I can let my child disconnect from me. I can let my child not like me for this moment. And I can trust it's going to be okay. And I can tolerate that distance and then calm my body down and come to it in a different way. So I think but sometimes it takes time. Once that door slams and you start feeling that rush of emotion to do either the collapse or the stomping up the stairs, that means your amygdala is running really high and your frontal lobe shut down. And so we need, one of the things we recommend is think about the 90 second rule.
Love it.
And that is, I'm going to give myself 90 seconds for my heart to slow down, my system to get, I'm going to put my hand on my gut, maybe my chest, and go, man, that's hard to hear. I can't stand it when I hear that. But like, just taking that moment to calm your nervous system before you move into action. And we say 90 seconds because it takes about 90 seconds for that adrenaline to run through your body and to come to a more relaxed state. Give yourself a few breaths. And then know that, by the way, one of the indicators that your amygdala is running the show is if you have to act right then. You know, it's like, I must act, you know, we all know that feeling.
Yes.
That is the sure sign. You'd better calm down, take the 90 seconds, breathe in, start visualizing this child being okay. Visualizing 2 days from now when the child's in your lap because they've scraped their knee, you know. And you can calm that nervous system down. And that allows, getting back to your question, that allows that frontal part of your brain to come online and that more knowing system to show up. But
yeah, please go ahead.
Yes. No, I was just saying, but also I loved your point before that self-compassion, when we do lose it, to go, whew, that was hard.
Yes. Absolutely. And then again, modeling for them to have that self-compassion. So it sounds like in my brain, if I simplify it, it sounds like really bringing myself back to the present moment. Mm-hmm. And realizing that it's not a tiger sitting in front of me, right? It's my child, and my child developmentally is just being him or herself. And so, but that's, again, that's the logical part. But then my body gets in the way, which is what you're saying. Yes. The history that I'm bringing with me to the moment, right? Mm-hmm. I love the 90-second rule. Can you think of any other tips you could offer in that moment when we're dysregulated, some things that might be helpful to bring us more into the moment?
I think, yeah, the 90-second rule, I think the moment of self-compassion, I think another one is to seek support, right? If you're lucky enough to have a co-parent or a trusted other, to be able to talk with them, to say, I need a break, I need you to tap in, right? If you have rushed up those stairs and you've started to say something, you get to go, I am super upset and I'm going to take a break. I mean, you get to change course at any point in time, even in the middle of it. And by being able to pull into yourself, if you start realizing that you're using a lot of you can't, shift into an I. Right. I am really upset. That was really hard to hear. I'm going to take a break and I will come back and we will talk more later. But the other thing is to be able to say, and we will be okay. You and I will be okay. I am really mad at you, but I'm also going to be okay. And you're going to be okay. And we're going to be okay. Because what you want to do is send the message to the child that it's okay that you get this upset, that it's okay that I get this upset, because that's our human relating. You are really mad too. That's why you stomped upstairs and I really want to hear about it, but I can't do it now till I calm down. And I understand you're mad and we both get mad. We're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. We are going to take a break. So we want to also validate the child's disruption. Right. Rather than you aren't able to talk to me that way. It's like, I understand that you are really upset and that's why you're saying that. And it's okay to be upset. We will learn more later what's going on. Rather than, I guess the other suggestion is that we don't jump into a consequence.
Ah, that's what most of us tend to do, right? We try to react and fix it, right? Yeah.
Right. That gets back to that part of I'm feeling really upset. So I have to fix the environment around me in order for me to calm down. And like, you know what? I'm going to calm down even without fixing it. So we're going to figure this out later is a great way to communicate to yourself and the child. You know, we will figure this out, but we're going to take a break.
I love it. So what you're doing is sharing these words, but you're also modeling, creating safety. Right. I might not have felt safe by my reaction 30 seconds ago. I can shift course and create that felt sense of safety that we can now shift. And then you're verbalizing even more so with the, I love that. I hadn't thought about that, but that we're okay. I'm okay. You're okay. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough that even us talking to ourselves that way, I'm going to be okay, even though I'm really pissed, you know, or especially if we've done something because we've lost our cool and then we're feeling really bad. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is to trust that children are fairly resilient. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust that. That keeps us from feeling too fear-based. Now, that doesn't mean they're resilient, so we act it out. It means... Right. These kids are resilient and we can screw up. We don't have to get it perfect. In fact, as long as we get it right for more than we get it wrong, right? Like really, that's the expectation. Uh-huh. We get it right more than we get it wrong, and that we're able to do repair when we mess it up. Because repair is one of the most important things. And it doesn't mean you have to take the fact that you've done something. One of the things we tend to do, and I can think of all sorts of memories of doing this with my own children, is I go into repair and like, I lost it and I'm sorry and I shouldn't have, I got too mad. But let me tell you why I did, because you did A, B, and C. Does that sound familiar to you at all?
Yeah, very. It's like, here's the flowers, but I'm just kidding. I'm taking them back, right?
Exactly. Right? And what we're doing in that episode, what we're doing in that moment is that we often feel guilty or bad, right? We do this with our partners too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel bad that I just did this. So I'm going to say I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but then I'm going to tell you why I did it. So right. I don't feel bad. And it's going to be because you did something. Right?
Yeah, that is a very familiar cycle.
Yes, I could think of so many times I've done that. And so one of the recommendations is I was really upset. I was really, and I know you were too, right? And when I got upset, I think I was too intense and da-da-da. So we separate the reaction that we had from whatever infraction that may have caused it, the stomping up the stairs. I lost it. It's so hard sometimes when this happens, and yet I didn't mean to lose it. And I stomped in your room and I didn't need to do that. And I bet that was really scary for you.
Mm, beautiful. So you're modeling that accountability.
Right.
What we want them to have, right?
Yes.
As they grow up and try to be adults too, right? Yeah.
That's because our brain, when they hear a but coming, our brain, you ever notice that when somebody's telling you something, but you can hear the but about to come, you literally shut down, you hear nothing. So the repair needs to not be attached to the but, just make it an all out repair. And then my favorite word is and, right? And that is, I shouldn't have done that, da, da, da. I'm sorry. How are you doing? Okay. And I also would like to talk about what happened with you going upstairs. See, one doesn't have to cancel or justify the other.
Right.
Because what the message we're sending in your wonderful podcast, by the way, I love the title of your podcast. But being the adult is basically being able to model for your child and being able to say, hey, I didn't mean to do this, and I'm here and I love you and I'm ready to restart, and to send those messages that, and you got upset and got disrupted, and I get that. But let's talk about the content now. What is it? You know, let's go deeper.
Mm. So it sounds like you're really always trying to, whether you name it out loud or not, or just to ourselves, to reconnect with ourselves.
Yes.
That seems to be a theme of a lot of what you're saying, right? That we kind of reconnect, that when we get dysregulated or we think there's that tiger, that we've kind of stepped outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair way to put that?
That's a really very fair way to put it. And that we're modeling for the child that they're not bad for stomping up the stairs and slamming the door. If we jump into the butt, but you when you said this and you can't talk to me that way, well, that's not true. Who doesn't talk that way when they're totally dysregulated?
Right.
Right. So let's not expect more from especially from our child our children do not have the nervous systems that are able to control themselves. And so they will dysregulate. And what we want, remember when we talked about the internal working model, we're helping them develop theirs. And what we want is when you lose it, I still love you. Mm. When you lose it, you're very worthy. Mm. When you lose it, I can handle you. You're not too much for me.
Mm.
And those messages are super important. So when you come up and you say, and you lost it, and you talk about it, you say, when we get really upset, we really do lose it, don't we?
Mm.
You know, and I'm still trying to learn how not to stomp up the stairs, but boy, it's hard.
Wow.
But we're going to learn. And so you want to give your child the ability to repair too. And it may not look like ours. It may not, like, I'm sorry I did that, Mom.
Right.
But if you don't say too much at that time, you don't have to have the whole learning lesson in that moment. That would be another thing I would recommend.
Yeah.
You say it, you move on, and you'll be surprised how often the child will come back later and say, hey, Mom, sorry I said that. Mm-hmm. They might not be able to do it right then, but when you've modeled it, it calms their nervous system down and it creates generosity.
Mm.
And so in creating generosity, they're more likely later to come back and say, hey, I'm sorry that I acted that way.
You're giving them the space to look inward and to feel that.
Yeah.
Oh, how beautiful. Wow. I'm going to listen to this recording over and over. Some wonderful, wonderful things that we all can use. Thank you so much. I guess as we move towards the end of our conversation, which I would love to talk to you for about 10 hours. Do you have 10 hours?
You're so sweet.
What's one thing that I know there are many, but one that you hope that listeners really hear today as they're thinking about, everything that you've talked about and really what does being an adult mean? How do I do that? How do I stop myself? How do I repair? How do I model? What's one thing that really you hope everybody takes?
I think self-compassion. That parenting is, I really think parenting is one of the hardest, most rewarding, but hardest things we can do. So yeah. I think the ability to be self-compassionate about how hard, but how loving parenting can be. And I think maybe the other one is that super important for parents to know that they set the emotional tone for the household, not the children. Mm-hmm. So we don't want the children, because they're losing it or they're upset, that they're the problem and we have to control them. That we really want to know that we have so much agency and empowerment of getting to know our own nervous system and what threatens us and what makes us feel good and proud, and understanding why, so that with that insight, we're engaging in a more self-aware way, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so if you realize that you're the one setting the emotional tone, not the child, mm-hmm. it really gives you more agency, mm-hmm. and it sends your child the message that you're the one in charge, mm-hmm. and you're the one that has them, mm-hmm. that because you can tolerate their difficulty, their hard emotions or their sad emotions, that if you can be there and deal with them, then it sends such a message of security to the child. So that's how you develop security. It's not just through over nurturing or setting hard rules. It's about, I can emotionally be the one in charge of this system, and you can trust that. And that sends all sorts of messages to the child about themselves and about you, but more importantly, about the world and their future relationships.
Mm. So they really can feel that, that you are the adult in the room. Mm-hmm. That's what they need us to be, but mm-hmm. in a very kind, loving, nurturing, gentle, but firm, right?
Right.
Structured. When I say the word firm, I mean more structured way, mm-hmm. that we mm-hmm. can hold them, that we've got them.
Yes, that we hold them and we've got them.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Beautiful. Well, I can't thank you enough. Is there anything else that you would like to share today that we didn't touch on? Or?
What would I like to share that we, I don't know, you asked such wonderful questions. I think the only thing to share is be kind to yourselves. Mm-hmm. And especially right now, because the kids right now have a lot of anxiety. They're having a lot of difficulty, depends on how old your child is, mm-hmm. but sometimes just our fears about whether they're going to be successful in the world can sometimes dominate how we respond. That the goal here is more the relationship more than anything else, mm-hmm. not the outcome, not the end goal, but the relationship in the moment. That's what's really important.
Mm, beautiful. I need to write that on my refrigerator. I wonder what this world would look like if everybody really focused on relationship and connection. It would be beautiful. So it's a hard time for
it
us.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again. And please, listeners, check out Therapist Uncensored. You will be thrilled that you do that.
Well, thank you so much.
Everybody take care. Thanks again.